The following show contains spoilers. If you've not seen the movies mentioned in our episode notes, please be aware that details of these films will be analyzed throughout. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Eat the Pictures, where we take a deeper look at food and films. I'm your host, Kat, and this is Spice World. So pull up a seat, grab your favorite movie snack, and join us as we eat the pictures. The 90s are often defined by the onset of the boy band, though the idea had existed long before, and the coming of age of the MTV generation. While R&B was chart-topping in 1997, a British group comprised of five women broke through, dominating the covers of magazines and even testing the waters of the box office. The Spice Girls, Baby, Sporty, Scary, Posh, and Ginger, gave the world a new obsession, girl power. Directed by Bob Spears, Spice World incorporated the band's hit singles, signature looks, and manufactured personalities into a Hard Day's Night-esque picture about the lead-up to a huge concert event. The girls travel London in their double-decker bus, evading slick paparazzi, followed by a documentary crew led by the legendary Alan Cummings. This may sound completely ridiculous, and it was, but it was also revolutionary to a whole generation of little girls. Starring the five Spice Girls, Emma Bunton, Jerry Halliwell, Victoria Beckham, Nee Adams, Melanie Brown, and Mel Chisholm, and supported by an ensemble of iconic actors including Richard E. Grant, Roger Moore, Hugh Laurie, and Jennifer Saunders, Spice World is the highest grossing film of all time by a musical group, surpassing the Beatles and Metallica. While it was originally panned by critics, re-watching this movie highlights the satire, the self-awareness, and the sexism the band and their listeners still must overcome. In preparation for the biggest performance of their careers, the girls are in back-to-back rehearsals and appearances. They're exhausted and have little time for themselves or their relationships outside of the group. On top of all the constant camera flashes, a tabloid is trying to find a negative dish to prop up their paper sales. The girls are fed up with people stereotyping them and forcing them into their assigned boxes. Is Baby really that innocent? Is Scary just loud and silly? What even is a Ginger Spice? Baby's personality is one of sweetness and doe eyes, and she always has a lollipop in her mouth. Her image uses candy as an indicator of youth and childlike disposition. The band had a brand deal with Chupa Chups Suckers, a Spanish candy sold in 150 countries and every limited two. The brand was sold to millions of children, emblazoned with the faces of the five British singers, and can be seen in the set decoration of many scenes throughout the movie, specifically on the Spice Bus and in the rehearsal rooms. I'm back on the candy train, as expected, but the way the suckers are used by Baby Spice specifically to highlight her gestures and emphasize her stereotype is brilliant in terms of marketing. She's an adult who looks young, prompting many still young girls to bond with her image because of her relatability. Selling the suckers next to their hair bands and glitter gel at limited two made many of us think we could have access to that life. We could like the same snacks and sing the songs and dance along, and maybe there would be a chance that we too could befriend other girls like those spices we worshipped. Through the film, viewers see Clifford, the girls' manager, demand of their time and self-control, and after a boating accident, the girls walk out of the rehearsal, fed up with their lack of freedom. They all end up back at the cafe where they would sing as teenagers. It has since been closed and boarded up, but they reminisce about the time before they were world-famous celebrities, just five friends singing into sugar shakers. The cafe feels homey and warm, the contrast to the celebrity parties and the shiny tour bus. Nothing here is new, just familiar and full of the memories of the times before. The girls go for chips and eat them off greasy paper next to the Thames. It's the first time we see anyone eat on screen besides Baby and her lollies. They've been so starved for free time that even an order of chips feels like a luxury to these girls, something that's available to anyone on the street in London. Even so, they abandon them without a second thought to spend time with their friend who they've been unintentionally neglecting. I was 9 when this movie came out. maybe not the prime target audience, but for a Midwestern girl obsessed with Monty Python, C.S. Lewis, and the UK Pavilion at Epcot, the Spice Girls felt like they were created just for me. I was a posh, if you're wondering. Seeing five successful women singing about loving each other and friendship felt revolutionary and important. 25 years later, after millions of records sold, hundreds of sold-out concerts, an Olympic ceremony show, and a reunion tour, the Spice Girls are still iconic for the work they did before young girls like me knew what feminism was. They declared girl power and equal rights, all while giving audiences the songs to spice up their lives. Looking back, the parody and winky jokes were more British comedy than teen beat, and the cult classic status the movie has is more poignant now than it was in 1997. We loved the Spice Girls because they were beautiful and could sing and dance. They had the wildest style and they were perfectly marketed to the masses. Here, under the bad dialogue and worse acting, viewers are treated to a campy look at five women just trying to live their lives and their dreams without the interference of the proverbial man. Surprisingly, this film passes the Bechdel test. It has no real romantic context, and were it not for the several musical numbers, it might have just been a quiet story about five women trying to make choices for themselves, something many of us are still trying to do today. Thank you for listening to this episode, and please follow us on Instagram at EatThePictures for episode news and information, and be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Information on this episode can be found in the episode notes. If you're looking for other great shows on storytelling, food, or entertainment, check out my friends over at Skull Rock Podcast or Dining at Disney, with new episodes every week. Join us next time as we break down another cinematic meal here on Eat the Pictures. Stay hungry.